I'm smiling so big. And I have every reason to smile. I was going to say I have no reason to smile. I have every fucking reason ever to smile, bitch, motherfucker, python, wiener. Yeah. Hey, guys. Welcome to Fake It. I'm your host, Alexa Ace. Let's turn this bitch up a little bit. It's been a week. I think I say that every week, but it's actually been a week, like, big time the past week. And I also don't listen back to my episodes. So, I mean, I kind of do, but not, like, not really. And in no way am I going to go back and, like, mine for fucking gold. But I don't think this has happened yet. And if it has, bear with, because this stoner memory. But I had a panic attack last week. A real one. I think I probably have already said that. I don't know. I feel like I haven't had a panic attack since last July, at least to this extent. And it appears as if the pattern in my life personally is when there's a panic attack, there's a whole lot of fucking change right after it, right before it and right after it. And the last time I had a panic attack was when I told my grandma to fuck off last July, and then the time before that was literally this week last year when I punched a fucking brick wall because I paid thousands of dollars for someone to fucking come to London with me who sat at a computer and did nothing. What was this panic attack about the past week? And we're not gonna get too far and into it because panic attacks are panic attacks. We don't need to give them too much energy. But here's what I realized this past week that is fucking profound, okay? I had a panic attack while my mom and I were talking. In fact, we got into like a little argument, and this has never happened in my entire life. I've never had a panic attack from my mother or like in the presence of my mother because she's my comfort. She's my mom. I love my mom. My mom and I are best. Like, my mom is my person. So what happened is we both got triggered this past week due to unforeseen circumstances. And basically she said something that shut me down. And the second she shut me down, I went into a full body panic attack. And we were on the phone. So we had to get off the phone. Like, I couldn't talk. I couldn't fucking breathe. I couldn't see straight. I was just like in shock. I couldn't believe that I was panicking. And I didn't even realize I was panicking until like 10 minutes after I was panicking, because I just started like, like that type of thing on the floor. And then I was like, okay, no. Ace, we know what to fucking do at this point in our lives. We know what to do. We don't sit in our panic anymore and call our mom and say, I'm not okay. No, we don't do that anymore. Or we don't, like, also, I used to always contemplate calling 988, which is, like, the suicide hotline number. Or, like, which, honestly, if you need to do that, you need to fucking do that. Or calling 911. Like, I've always, when I start to panic, I'm always like, I need help. I need someone to help me. I'm not okay. I'm going to die right this second, okay? So this past time, the past week, I think it was Wednesday, I was like, No. This shit is not going to, this is not going to happen right now. I'm in control. I'm way more in control than I've been in a long fucking time. So the second I realized I was panicking, and also I was in child's pose. I don't know how long. It's almost like you kind of go into a blackout state, you know, like time doesn't exist. And I think it was about 10 minutes looking at the time that we got off the phone. And I stood up and I went to my bedroom and I was like, okay, we're going to fucking take care of ourselves. Even if we're dry heaving, gagging, throwing up, like taking care of yourself in a panic attack is fucking awful. And it's one of the loneliest, most independent things you can fucking do if you experience that and if you go through that. And also, not every panic attack, I don't think you can like get through by yourself 100%, because I do obviously think that there are panic attacks where you need to call 988 or 911 or your fucking mom. But I get to my bedroom, I'm laying there, I'm sitting myself up, putting cold water on my face, trying to breathe. I have cold water next to me. I'm doing all the things. I have my crystals. I'm just doing everything I possibly can do to try to get myself out of this before having to call someone and saying I'm not fucking okay. And then all of a sudden, I go into a further panic attack. I mean, like, not, I mean, like my brain wanted to say like some Jumanji shit, but it was like some Jumanji shit. Like I'm in my bed, like just laying there. And then all of a sudden I go back to my house when I was 7 years old, being, this is TMI, but, and this is trigger warning, being like verbally assaulted by my dad. So, and that doesn't ever happen. That doesn't ever fucking happen. I don't ever go back to that mind frame, that mindset, those times, because why the fuck would I? Like, I don't want to go there. And also I do that in therapy and in meditation. And so my brain was just like, no, we're going to fucking go there. We're going to go all the way there. We're going to go to your core trauma and we're going to assess it. And so my little brain for some reason went back to being a 7-year-old child crying in my closet because my dad won't let me call my mom because he's the most fucking controlling, manipulative motherfucker to ever exist. Like, and I sat there with it, like scream crying. And I was like, my neighbors can hear me. My soul can hear me. My ancestors can hear me. Okay. At what point do I call someone? And I kept breathing through it. And through your nose, out through your mouth. And I'm the person too that, like, I didn't want to break up with my boyfriend because I was so scared of handling panic attacks by myself, even if he was also abusive. This is an intense episode. It wasn't supposed to be, but what I'm trying to say is I was someone who has been so fucking fearful of getting through these panic attacks by myself that I can't believe that I am now at the point where I've gotten through 3 by myself, completely alone, like full body panics. Okay, so I think I was meant to go back to that spot, that visualization in my mind, which also kind of sucks because I realized afterwards, my mom and I talked about it and I was like, because she tried to call me and apologize and because we were both triggered. And that happens too with people you love, no matter the fuck what, like you can get triggered. But the, you know, what you're trying to do to stop the trauma from further happening is, you know, you want to go into a routine of healing, of water, of you know, shock. Like there are just certain things that you can do with panic attacks to shock yourself out of them, like getting in a fucking freezing cold shower. I didn't do that. I don't know. Anyways, what the fuck I realized, how long have I been recording for? Okay, almost 10 minutes. What I realized is I when I was dating my ex, I had less than 10 of these panic attacks, but they started with him. I had never had them before I was with him. And they're awful. Like, just being really honest, they're just really awful. They're just really terrifying. They're really scary before and afterwards. They're almost immediate triggers. It's like you can't control yourself, okay? So what I realized in this panic attack, and also looking back at my past relationship, I realized that I would go into these panic attacks, and I went into the panic attack last week. The second I felt like I didn't have a voice. Whoa. Right? That's a big awareness to have when you're 28 years old and you've had probably 10 panic attacks in your life and you're like, what the fuck is the core reason? Why? And you know, that's why you go to therapy, that's why you meditate, that's why you journal. But I realized that one of my biggest core wounds in my entire fucking life is feeling helpless and feeling like I don't have a voice and feeling like I can bring something to the table that can like diminish the suffering and that no one's listening to me. And I'm like, I can help. But I'm being shut down. And I think it was in this moment that my entire life flashed before my eyes. Because if you've been following my journey in any way, shape, or form, you know that I have had a massive fear of public speaking my entire life. So much so that I failed speech in college 3 times. We had to change my entire degree because I couldn't. That class was a part of my degree and I couldn't do it. Like I would get up there and fucking blackout. I mean blackout. I mean full fucking body to the floor blackout. So when I had this panic attack last week, I think I realized like holy fucking shit, I am supposed to get through this. I'm supposed to learn how to use my voice and stand up for myself. If I don't, I'm only perpetuating my trauma, which in a lot of ways starts from my dad and his neglect. If you have daddy issues, welcome to the club. I'm a part of the club. You might be a part of the club. Who actually has a good dad nowadays? Like, let's be real. And if you have a good dad, can you share him? So use your fucking voice. That's the point of this episode today. Because through me failing speech multiple times in college, through me having a speech pathologist growing up, clearly I've had a speech impediment my entire life, saying R's. If you can't tell, I'm sure you can. I get people who say this to me often. I can't say my fucking R's, and I don't fucking care. Like, I don't fucking care. But when I was little, I did care. When I was arguing with my exes, I did care. Me 2 years ago really fucking cared. Me now. In fact, I think I even put out a blog post at one point talking about like Joe fucking Biden's speech impediment, because same, bro. Like, but that's not gonna stop me. It did stop me. It did for a long fucking time. In fact, I think it stopped me so much so, like not using my voice limited my entire career so much so that's why it's taken so long for me to get here to this podcast, to Women and Music, to Gold Hand Girls. Like, that's why I've had to take 3 years away from social media and showing my face like anywhere, because I just went through a 5-year fucking period where I barely used my fucking voice at all. And if I did in this relationship, it was like not, it just wasn't good. So what I wanted to get at today is obviously the Tortured Poets Department came out last week times two, and oh, I just opened Spotify. And it says, congrats, you were in the first 1% streams of Taylor Swift's The Tortured Poets Department. Anyways, that what good timing, dismiss. And so I listened the fuck to this album. Bet your ass, bet your bottom dollar I did. I listened the fucking shit fuck to this album. Bet your bleached asshole I did. Yeah. I didn't love it at first. I was like, Tay-Tay, this feels a little weak. But that's the point. It's a goddamn graveyard of songs. And a graveyard of what she won't put up with anymore. And that's where I was like, okay, I fucking get it. I get this whole fucking album. I've had some shitty relationships too. And also, the older I fucking get, the more I realize that just like any relationship in your life, like good or bad, like family, friends, whatever, relationships are just distracting. Like, it's so easy to put your whole life into one relationship or to put your whole life into one situation. And like with me and my dad, with me and this panic attack, like I realized in this panic attack that I didn't use my voice against my dad. Like in a lot of ways, I felt as a child that he took my voice away, because I would have to go on forced visitations. If you have divorced parents, you fucking know. I would have to go on visitations to my dad's house for 2 weeks in the summer, every summer, twice a year. And during this time, like my dad was fighting for me to be at his house, fighting my mom, but not paying attention to me when I got there. So I would get there and I had needs as a little kid and they weren't met at all. And as an adult, I have needs that need to be fucking met. And that if there's a relationship or if there's a situation around me that is an obstacle or that is stopping me from meeting my needs and speaking up and using my voice, that is also part of the trauma cycle that has to stay the fuck away from me, and I need to be aware enough to. And so I think the Tortured Poets Department is a really interesting album specifically for Taylor's voice and her career and her brand. I actually listened to the album on FaceTime with my little sister who's 11, and so I didn't listen to it like, you know, with my heart and soul until later, and I was listening to it by myself. But the very first thing I noticed is Taylor just like lets the F-bomb go in this record, and I'm so about it. And she also has a song, I forget which one it is, but she has a song like talking about how Christians are super judgmental, and it's like, whoa, Tay-Tay, use your voice, queen. Like, whoa, Ace, use your voice, queen. Okay, so a few of my favorite songs, or not even, a few songs on this album that really stood out to me that are like reminding me of this that remind me of the helplessness are the song My Boy Only Breaks His Fucking Favorite Toys. Holy fucking shit, fuck. It doesn't have a fucking in there, but we might as well put a fucking in there. There is a lyric that says, he saw forever, so he smashed it up. And oh my God, if that doesn't remind me of my ex. And also a constant white guy phrase that I've heard more than fucking one skinny ass white loser guy say. And it's the phrase, quote unquote, I'm not going anywhere. So like, let's say you're a cute girl who's dating this guy who has some daddy trauma, and all of a sudden you're dating this guy who does something that you don't like, and you're like, you don't know how to speak up, but you get in an argument. And at the end of the argument, and during the argument, like, you don't know what, you don't know exactly how to stand up for yourself. But at the end of the argument, the guy who obviously never takes full accountability says, I'm not going anywhere. Like, don't worry, babe. I'm not going anywhere. Babe, you got this. I'm not going anywhere. Babe, you don't have to worry about that. I'm not going anywhere. And so the line, he saw forever, so he smashed it up, really reminded me of just not having a fucking voice, or just being in these arguments where I felt like I was like, how the fuck do I get out of this right now? And also something I'm really realizing through the torture poets department, through my panic attacks, through this helplessness, is that feeling bad for yourself is so fucking unattractive. It's so fucking not cute. It's so sad boy who talks in lowercase letters and listens to fucking Machine Gun Kelly and dyes his hair blonde that actually ends up orange. Oh, I cannot handle fucking white guys, specifically tall white guys who feel bad for themselves and who want them to feel bad for you and who want you to feel bad for them too. Like, when there's white boy helplessness, I mean, this is obviously a We Hate Men podcast, just kidding, but not sitting in the pain is like the sexiest thing ever. When someone gets up and takes control of their pain or their problems or the things they bitch about, oh my God, baby, put a ring on it. Like, oh, also, speaking of, we just entered, not really speaking of, but kind of, we just entered Taurus season on April 19th. So, ooh, I hope you guys had a good 420. I sure did. Back to feeling helplessness. I felt that as a little kid. I refuse to feel that now in my adult life. However, it seems as if a lot of white men really get off by a woman taking care of them. Oh, that's what it is. Mama's boys. Ew, get the fuck out of here. It's Taurus season, which means, what does Taurus season mean in comparison to helplessness? It means that this is a season of self-reliance. This is a season of being more composed, being more grounded, practical, loyal, more outdoorsy. Taurus is ruled by Venus, Mother Nature. So during this season, during this time, I felt like it was almost natural that my panic attack came out because I also have my Venus in Taurus. So we're in the season for me particularly where I love this time in my life. I often feel like April, May is time to slow down. It's time to go lay in the sun. It's time to kind of take control from the back seat, you know, not be in the driver's seat. Like, when you're in a panic attack, it feels like the panic is in the driver's seat. It is taking you to your destination of death. And that's just not the truth. Being in Taurus season and also Taylor releasing the Torture Poets Department on April 19th, the first day of Taurus season, I think is just really interesting too because of it. Just because of the way the record and the lyrics like are not in favor of being a little pussy bitch. Sorry to say it, but that's the truth. Like the lyrics in the Torture Poets Department are just like screaming self-reliance. Like, are screaming, I feel like I'm not in control and I have to get back in control. And that's exactly where I've been the past year, the past 2 years, the past 3 years. The majority of my fucking life, it feels like. And panic attacks make sense because when you feel that out of control, like the knowledge that you have, like the substance you have to bring to the table equates to nothing, it kind of makes sense. But please keep in mind, your worth, your words, they never equate to nothing. You speaking up is worth the panic attack. It's worth the fight. It's fucking worth it. And because at the end of the day, you're standing up for yourself and you're hearing the words that you feel are your truth out loud, rather than in your head, rather than to yourself, rather than ruminating, rather than it becoming toxic in your body. And using your voice also, I think there's a difference in using your voice and being defiant. I think that it's important to know, like, at least for me personally, I can say that at this age, I'm aware that there is no controlling anyone ever, ever. Like, there's no controlling anyone. There's no controlling the conversation. There's no, debates are honestly kind of fucking dumb, because there's no winning. There's no right or wrong. Specifically in situations where you're in a fight or an argument with a very controlling person who only sees life like one way and cannot see your perspective. You trying to over-explain your perspective is what will make you lose your vision and your sight, because if someone else can't hear the words you're saying, they never fucking will. So get out and fucking run. And it's not even that, though. It's that they never will, and they're going to keep taking from you. We talk about energy vampires all the time. We talk about gaslighting all the time, but this is how they do it. They slowly try to diminish your worth by changing your opinions and your mind and changing your own reality. And so there's another song. Hold on. What is the song called? There's another song in the I keep wanting to say the Tartar and the Tortured Poets Department. Is the Tortured Poets Department hard for anyone else to say? I feel like Taylor's trying to Ocean Under Boulevard. What is the, yeah, she's trying, you see what, yeah. Okay. The other song that reminded me of losing your voice, clearly gonna end it here. Actually, there's two. One brief moment is, I just have to share that I got this same text from five different people that the song "I Can Do It With a Broken Heart," which, yes, she sure does say you gotta fake it till you make it, and I did. But she also says, "I'm so depressed, it's my birthday," or something. I don't know if I know what she says, but there are five different people who texted me they don't even know each other, that were like, "This song reminds me of you," and I was like, yes, yes, I did it. That might be the dorkiest song on the record, but I did it. And so the song right after that is a song called "The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived." And this is the song that reminds me very clearly of my ex and of Maddie Healy and of my dad and of just anyone in your life who tries to control your perspective or your opinion, or really thinks that they're better than you because of their opinion, or thinks that they know a better, easier way to live. I don't even fucking know. Basically, this song is about a guy who is perpetuating his sadness onto her life and is dulling her life. Moment of fucking silence. Can't we all relate? The lyrics that the song opens up with even is, "Was any of it true?" Actually, I'm just going to go ahead and read. I'm going to go ahead and read a few lyrics. "Was any of it true? You gazing at me starry-eyed in your Jehovah's Witness suit." Who the fuck was that guy? Let me just also very quickly say that when I first got into the relationship with the 5-year person, this person had a solid 9-to-5 job, a solid cute car, a solid relationship with their parents. All of that changed within a month. Literally fired. All of it changed within a month. So who the fuck was that guy? And then she continues to go on with, "And now I don't even want you back. I just want to know if rusting my sparkling summer was the goal. And I don't miss what we had, but could someone give a message to the smallest man who ever lived? You hung me on your wall, stabbed me with your pushpins, in public showed me off, then sank in stoned oblivion. 'Cause once your queen had come, you treat her like an also-ran. You didn't measure up in any measure of a man." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just think in a lot of ways that that's the man saying, like, push pin, bump, you're on my wall now, you're mine, bitch, this is how the world's gonna go, this is how your life is gonna go, and also I'm so sad, will you please take care of me? Even though you're over here having panic attacks of yourself, taking care of your own trauma, paying your own bills, like going through your own life, like fuck these men. Fuck these men. If there's anything I've realized also, I should call this podcast The Things I Realized, aka Kylie Jenner. No, I don't want a relationship anywhere near me. I don't want, like, the next person that comes into my life is going to really have to fucking be incredible, because why the fuck are we wasting so much of our gorgeous, precious, creative time on men who just are sucking the attention out of us? They're just dying for attention for nothing. Just like my own fucking father. So, period, the end. Gonna go back to the very beginning of this. My mom and I have, I've never had, like, she's constantly healing. I'm constantly healing. The panic attack that I had was so out of nowhere that I feel like I was supposed to go into that inner child moment. And if you have a situation like this, I'm not encouraging you to go that deep, but I also am saying if you feel like you've done the healing and the work to continue to go, to go further into the panic attack, just do it. Because why do I feel like I'm gonna cry saying that? Because it's so hard, because it's like really, 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 really traumatic and hard. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done by myself as a human. And I know that there are other women out there who have panic attacks, and you're not alone. So that's why I'm saying this. I want to delete this episode already and not share it because it's so fucking vulnerable and open and real, but that's the point. Okay, so thank you for listening to another episode of Fake It. That is all that I have for you today. Use your voice, but not in defiance in the way that you will lose your voice because someone else around you is telling you that you're wrong. You're not wrong. Use your voice. The more you speak up, the more you're aware of your reality, the more words that you can find that match your reality, the stronger you become and the less that someone could ever come and take that away from you. Your book, your narrative, chapter closed. Let's move on. Okay. Mwah. I hope you've had an amazing week. I do love the Torture Poets Department. Honestly, I'd probably give it, let's see. Ooh, I wasn't planning on giving it a rating, but intuition says let's go. Ah, fuck. I think I'm going to give it like a 6.5 out of 10. Doesn't even kind of come close to an 8. It doesn't even kind of come close to Reputation, which is probably my number one, isn't it, everyone's? And then Lover, like, it just doesn't even, it's incredible though. It reminds, it reminds me a lot of Midnights, just being real, because I do feel like Midnights is what inspired my breakup, and now this is further inspiring me to never go down that route again. And I hope it inspires you to use your voice, even if you're scared, even if you go into a panic attack, even if the words you say out loud don't make sense, keep going, they will. Okay? Believe in yourself. I believe in you. And it's also the greatest thing in the entire fucking world when someone believes in you. I'm so grateful for the support I have. Also, thank you to the friends who reached out last week after me saying I have my close friends. No more. I had a few people who reached out that are definitely fucking core friends that were like, And so just thank you for supporting. Thank you for listening. I miss everyone. I've still been hidden and I still kind of want to stay hidden just because I'm on a roll with my sriracha stained sweatshirt this morning that's fucking white, and I got on it. I got sriracha on it this morning. I also did a somersault out of bed backwards yesterday morning to start my day. So, yeah. My cat's staring at me like she's going to gouge my eyeballs out if she doesn't come sit in my lap right this second. I love you. Mwah. Bye.